So we spent the first 4 months, almost 5 months, working through the first core value of New Hope, which is love, unconditional love. Unconditional love, it is that foundation. Of course, we know that is who? The person of Jesus. He is love, and therefore He is our firm foundation that we can be secure in. And so we built this foundation of what love is, what it looks like, how it acts, how it behaves. I know I've been challenged, and I'm reminding myself of my own words. You know, like, Steve, I wasn't very patient, wasn't very kind, you know, that you should have spoke the truth there and not just kind of left it go, you know. So I know I'm still being challenged by my own words because they're His and not mine. So it's a good thing, and He's going to continue working on that. He's going to continue to build His church, and that's each of us individually, to be able to possess and to express out His perfect unconditional love. But this morning we'll be moving on to the next part of God's His core value here for New Hope that we're looking to establish, and that is, of course, integrity. Specifically, sacrificial integrity. And we're going to learn why that word that none of us like to hear is there, because integrity almost always requires a sacrifice. And so we're going to start into that this morning. So we've learned all about what love is and how to more fully walk into that. According to 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul described the love of God, that love that is to apply to every relationship, no matter what it might be. And today, we're going to be then moving on to sacrificial integrity, as we mentioned. Now, integrity, by definition, is the state of being complete or undivided. In the Hebrew, it's the word tom, just spelled just like the name Tom. It's the Hebrew word for integrity, for being whole and complete and undivided. Now, I found it interesting. There's actually no direct Greek word that the New Testament is primarily translated into that interprets to our word integrity. But anytime you see the English word integrity in all of our Bible translations, there's no Greek word for that, but it goes back to the Greek word for truth. And really, that's absolutely appropriate, because to be true means to be whole and complete, to be integral, you know, undivided and thorough through and through. So that's definitely appropriate, an appropriate translation. Integrity, and I love that, you know, make integrity great again. It's getting ready for the next election already, you know, we're halfway through and all kinds of crazy stuff happening. All right, anyways. But integrity, when it's referring to a life, when it's referring to a person, it's a person who is consistent. It's a person who is consistent in what they think, how they speak, and of course that results in how they act. Because everything starts in the battlefield of the mind, right? That's where everything begins. So if we can get integrity right in our mind, and we're not divided in the way that we think, then what we speak and how we act is going to follow how we think. So it's important for us to realize that. Now, as I'm going through this series, I want to preface it. This is not an excuse, because we all need to strive to live lives of integrity, but this is going to be a lifelong process. As the Bible teaches in Galatians 5, you are by nature a hybrid, divided. You live in this flesh that was born into sin and that wants to sin because that's what it's always done, but you are also born again by the Spirit of truth. The Spirit who is integral, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and never changes. So we're always going to have a degree of division that we have to work through. But we should strive and we should work towards living a life of integrity. Integrity, it's a thoroughness in consistency, and it's a constancy in reliability. It's a thoroughness in our consistency, and it's a constancy in our reliability. If you've ever, made a cake mix, you know, I remember the first time that our kids made a cake mix, you know, I mean, you mix up the egg and the oil, and then you throw the batter in, and if you don't mix that thoroughly so that it's a consistency all throughout, you know, you got, like, scrambled egg in one bite of your cake, and the other cake is like you're dry heaving because it's nothing but... I'm sorry, don't look at me that way. I'm not saying who it was. Because it's nothing but powder, right? You know, we like integrity, thoroughness, through and through. When you take a bite of one piece of cake, you expect the next bite to be the same. Consistent and thorough, that's integrity. Integrity is being consistently the same when it deals with a person's life, both in our public as well as our private life. The way that we respond to something privately is the way we would respond to it publicly. Regardless of what the circumstances are, and we would respond the same when no one's around, just the same as when we're in a public place and everyone's taking notice. And we all have to strive in this area. My kids will confess. I don't treat some of you guys the same way I would treat them if they were to say the same thing or do the same thing. You know, a little more severe when it comes to your own kids, right? You hold them to a higher standard. But integrity is being consistent, and it's something that we all desperately need. We need, when we say yes, to follow through with it. And we need, when we say no, to follow through with that. Our yes is yes, our no is no. And that's really what it comes down to, as we'll learn in a little bit. Now, we expect integrity in almost every aspect of our lives. We expect it everywhere from everybody. You know, we wouldn't want to go down to DeMeo's and fill up our car and find out that out of the 10 gallons that I filled up my car with, 1 gallon was actually water. You got some of the stuff that was, you know... You know, you're going down the road. I know, we'll get to that one. You're going down the road, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you wouldn't accept that. It's junk gas. You'd be telling everybody, don't go there. Don't go there. I got junk gas, right? Don't we do that? We'd spread the word to everybody. We get upset when we only can hear bits and pieces of what the other person's saying on the phone. Remember the old Verizon commercials with, can you hear me now? You know, it gets so frustrating. You're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's irritating, right? I'm sorry, yeah. And then we have this, you know, nobody accepts that. I know we recently upgraded our Xfinity service because you know how these services are. They creep up the prices until it's like, well, I might as well get the full triple play because I'm paying the same anyways, you know. So we did that, and then it's all like streaming, and then you see stuff like this in the middle of a show, and it's like, you hate it. You know, buffering with internet videos. It's frustrating, it's irritating, it's unacceptable, and we just won't have it. We want integrity. Right, if you bought a 10-pound bag of tomatoes, you wouldn't accept it if a pound of that was rotted, right? You'd be going back to the store and be like, what is the deal with this? Come on, you know, I pay for 10 pounds. I don't want 9 of them and 1 pound rotted. If you pay to get a job done, a project, if you've ever hired a contractor, you're not going to be satisfied if they do half the work by their deadline and take their full paycheck and run, right? You know, I learned about recently somebody who did that. They paid someone to fix the roof, and they didn't finish the job. They bailed. Turns out there's a big, like, lawsuit now, like, at the attorney district level, because he does this to all these people. You know, you won't accept it. That's not integrity. That's not following through with your word. You know, if we work a full week at work, we don't expect 2 days on our paycheck, do we? You would be complaining to somebody. The HR department would be hearing about it. Integrity. You see, we're quick to pick up a lack of integrity when it comes to ourselves. And we're quick to complain and lament and, you know, because we feel ripped off, we feel uncared for, you know, and we're quick to voice our concerns. And we are quick to demand that our wrongs be made right. You know, you ever been in a store before and you hear the person in front of you like flipping out? I see this at Dollar General all the time because you always have to read the fine print. You know, this 2-liter soda is supposed to be a dollar. Well, you have to buy 3 to get the 3 for $3, right? You guys ever run into that? Yeah, I ran into that often. You know, and person's complaining. It's like, come on, let's go look at the tag. See, it says right there, you must buy 3 to get this price. 3 for $3, not 1 for $1, right? You know, and people flip out about these kind of things. Why? Because it is a lack of integrity. You know, it's a false advertising. It's not integral. It's not thoroughness in everything. But we're quick to pick up on those things and complain about it. However, when it comes to our own lives, do we hold ourselves to that same standard? And I can guarantee that almost none of us hold ourselves to the standard that we hold others to when it comes to integrity. You know, do we refuse to accept the lack of integrity in our own lives? Do we sacrifice to make our wrongs right? Or do we instead provide excuses? Because there's always a legitimate excuse, isn't there? There's always a reason that I said I would do that and then something came up. There's always a reason, right? Always a reason for lack of integrity. But we should never accept that. To walk in integrity, we've got to make sacrifices to be able to walk in that, to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Because that's exactly what Jesus taught here on the Sermon on the Mount. Starting in Matthew chapter 5, and I'm sorry I didn't give you time to get ahead of me here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he's going through all these awesome teachings. And in verse 33, he says, "Again, you've heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows that you made. But I tell you, don't swear an oath at all, either by heaven, because it's God's throne, or by earth, because it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. And don't swear by your head," you can amen this, "because you can't even make one hair white or black," right? You can dye it all that you want, but God knows the truth, okay? All right? He knows. He knows what color he made those hairs. In verse 37, Jesus said this, "All you need to say is simply yes or no. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." And here's the key. Here's what Jesus is saying. It shouldn't matter what you swear by. On my mother's grave, you know, I swear. It shouldn't matter what you're swearing on or what you're promising by. Your word should be your word, should be your word. And that should be enough. Your yes should be yes, your no should be no. And I thought this was interesting, because I was just going to glaze over this and keep going, but I really felt God took me back. Actually, it was just last night, you know, to this word evil, because we use this word so often. Evil, wicked, you know, and we say people are wicked and this nation's wicked or whatever. Sometimes I don't think we're saying what we're saying may not actually be what God was saying. We may be speaking two different things. So I decided to look up this word, and it is the Greek word paneros. And what this word evil means, is translated to evil or wicked, it literally just means full of labors, annoyances, hardships. It means being pressed and harassed by labors. And now, when you think about an evil or wicked person and what the Bible refers to, it's somebody who opposed the gospel. And if you read the account of like Paul going around from town to town sharing the good news of the gospel, tons of people were being saved, churches were being planted, but that work never went unopposed. And what we consider evil people were the people who were opposing him. And unfortunately, it's usually the people who said they followed God. They were the Jews, right? Those were the thorns in his spine. Those same people who said that they were worshiping God and speaking truth and they knew their scriptures inside out, they were the ones who were opposing the actual work of Jesus. Paul was a good example of that. Remember the road to Damascus when he was Saul going out to persecute the church? And Jesus is like, "What's your problem? Why are you persecuting me?" He thought he was doing the work of God, yet he was an evil, wicked man. Evil just means that it's full of labors, annoyances, and hardships. Now think about a life that lacks integrity. If your yes is not yes and your no is not no, I'm sorry, it comes from the evil one, because look at this. Your life is full of labors. It's full of annoyances. Oh, crap, I knew that was today and I forgot about it, right? It's an annoyance. It's a labor. You're like plagued. That's evil. I honestly didn't know this until I looked into it. I understand evil is like, it's the demons at the pitchforks and, you know, they're going out after you and that's evil and wicked. But really what evil and wicked means is just this. And now, yes, they fit that definition. Their entire purpose by their existence, their chosen existence, I guess I should say, is to oppose the work of God. To have the work of God be full of labors and annoyances and hardships. They want to oppose the work of God, and that's evil. That comes from the evil one. But just as much so in our lives, when we lack integrity, it's an evil lifestyle. It is full of all of these things. You're pressed and harassed by labors. You just feel like you never have enough time to get everything done because you said yes too many times. And you're trying to let your yes be yes. Well, maybe some of those yeses should have been no's. Right? Learn to love that word. No. I'm so sorry, but I just can't. I'm learning the hard way. Right? But that enables you to walk in integrity. Don't let people force you to do things, even if you're able to do them. If you know that you're not going to have the time, you know it's going to cause you hardships or whatever, learn to say no. It's okay. That's a life of integrity, because then your yes will be yes. When you say yes to somebody, you're going to show up and you're going to do whatever it is that you promise to do. If you say no, then that's going to be the case. It's just not going to happen. So when our lives lack integrity, this often happens. The truth is, a life of integrity, it's not only good for our witness, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you live a life of integrity and your yes is yes, your no is no, not only is it a good witness for Jesus, but I'm telling you, it's actually a healthy lifestyle. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, you miss out on divine health when you don't live a life of integrity. When you're always stressed and pressed and you never feel like, you know, the labors are just always there. Usually that ties back to this issue, a lack of integrity. We don't often think about it that way. We come up with excuses, right? Well, this came up, that came up, didn't have the time for that, or I had no idea this was coming my way. Yes, those things happen in life, but a life of integrity will leave buffer room to allow for those things. Don't fill up a 40-hour week with 40 hours of work. You know, leave 5 hours and, you know, then you'll have time in case something does come up. You know, if you have to be at work at 8 and it takes half an hour to get there, don't leave at 7:31. Because then when that accident happened, then when that flat tire comes, you won't be as upset if you give yourself buffer room, you know? One of the kids' teachers always tell them, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. It's just a good habit to get into. And it helps you to walk in integrity. It's a good practical way to do that. So it's good for our own health. Not only that, it's good for those around us. When you're not always on edge and stressed out and pressed and harassed by labors, you're a funner person to be around. My wife has told me this. I like being with you when you're on vacation. I don't like being with you when you're a ball of stress. It's just no fun, right? And it's true for all of us. It's not a life that expresses who our God is. It's not a life that represents Jesus, right? As Dow often said, representing Jesus, just representing him. It's being like him. And he's fun to be around. He actually gave us life to enjoy life, believe it or not. He wants you to enjoy the life that he gave you. Living a life of integrity helps make this possible. And something beautiful happens, especially in a local church body like this. When each one of us strives to live a life of integrity, when we come together, there's just naturally unity. There's just natural unity. When each one of us is not divided, when I'm not telling Regis one thing about Glenda and I'm telling Marie something else about Glenda, I don't feel awkward around Glenda. And Regis doesn't feel awkward around Glenda and Steve because she knows what I think about her. And Marie doesn't feel awkward around Glenda and me because I told her something about it. Do you see what I mean? It causes such unbelievable division when we're divided. But if we live lives of integrity, and I've already told Glenda, hey, I got this concern about you, and if I mentioned it to Regis and Marie, no one's going to feel uncomfortable because everybody knows. That's a life of love, right? Love speaks the truth. We learned all about that, but that also helps us to walk in integrity. And when each one of us individually walks in integrity, everybody comes together in unity just naturally. There's no division among us. And I love this psalm, Psalm 33:1. God said, how good and pleasant it is when his people live together in unity. He goes on, he says, it's like, you know, the oil running down over, I believe it was Aaron's beard, right? It's just a beautiful thing when we come together in unity, when there's no division, when there's no awkwardness. Because then who is the focus on when we come together? Jesus. I'm not worried about everyone else around me and what they're thinking of me and what they're saying about me. I can just come in freedom. I can just come and worship Jesus in spirit and truth without any of those hindrances or annoyances, right? Those wicked things. Here's something you don't want to do if you want to live a life of integrity. These are things that will destroy your life. These are things that come from the evil one. They are evil, they are wicked. Trying to be different things to different people, right? Don't allow your life to be defined by your peers. Allow your life to be defined by Jesus. Live in an audience of one. He's the only one that matters. He's the one who's going to judge you in the end of this life, right? Don't live your life trying to be different things to different people, even if they need you to be that. It's okay to let people down. I'm going to actually give you that freedom. Don't strive to be something that you're not to meet someone else's need. God may give you a gift of the Spirit to enable you in that for a season, but if you notice that you're trying and God's not giving you that grace to be that to that person, step away and verbally let them know, I'm so sorry, I want to be this for you. I had to say this to my wife, not long ago. I'm not a morning person. I'm sorry. I know you want me to wake up an hour early so we can sit around and sip coffee and talk about our day, but I'm snooze, snooze, snooze. Oh man, I got to get a shower. I got to get ready. I got to go, you know? And now, first day of hunting and fishing, I was reminded of those. Do I love those more than my wife? No, but yeah, I guaranteed I'm up in time for those things anyways. You can ask her all about that conversation, how it went down. But it's okay. You know, I was like, you can ask her. I texted her on the way. I'm like, you know what? I'm so sorry. I want to be this for you. I really do. But I just can't. You know, be honest. Be upfront. Let somebody know. It's okay to do that. Because you know what will happen? When you step out of that void in that person's life that you're trying to fill, I've seen it over and over again. God will bring somebody else along who has that gifting, who has that ability, and they will be that to that person. That's okay. Make room for other people. And that's why, you know, I know that our focus this, you know, in the upcoming years is all about the community that needs us, that they desperately need the hope that is living within you. But we just as much as they need us, we need each other. We need each other just as desperately. Because we can't be everything to one another. Even my wife, Becky, she can't be everything to me. We need the body of Christ, right? Because we all have different talents, gifts, and abilities. We need each other. And that's when we come together in unity, it's a beautiful thing. And when we live lives of integrity, unity naturally happens. There's no awkwardness, and there's no secrets, and there's no shame. There's just us being who we are. It's a beautiful thing. And it's the will and the purpose of Jesus, I believe. Integrity is actually living a simple life. And in this culture, simplicity of life is not encouraged. It leaves us longing for the good old days, right? You know? I'll talk about those things later. But it's a simple and a consistent life. Just being who you are. Duplicity is a complex and a divided life. And there's another proverb here about this. Proverbs 11:3 says that the integrity of the upright guides them. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Because if integrity is consistency of life and simplicity of life, the opposite of that, living a life lacking integrity, is duplicity. You're divided. And ultimately, it leads to your destruction. It destroys relationships. It destroys finances. It destroys churches. It destroys businesses. It destroys anything that it can touch. What did Jesus say? And I always think about this when I think of the nation of America. He said that a house divided against itself will fail. And we decided we're going to be Democrats and Republicans, right? Great idea. I don't know why Christians push for this division. It's not good. Jesus said, he literally said, a nation divided against itself will fail. A family divided against itself will fail. Anything divided against itself, it's going to fail. The opposite of integrity is this division, this duplicity. And that's where we get these awesome, you know, slang phrases that we love. Somebody who is two-faced, someone who is two-timing, someone who is backstabbing, someone who is double-crossing. When you're dealing with somebody and they're a double dealer, right? They deal with you differently, they deal with other people. All these slang terms, it's literally what this comes from. It's a lifestyle of duplicity. It's a lifestyle that lacks integrity. And no one likes dealing with a double time and backstabbing, whatever other slang term you can think of for them. But when you say those slang terms, that's what you're thinking of. You're thinking of somebody that lacks integrity. They live a duplistic lifestyle. Now, life of integrity, it gives freedom. It gives peace. And it gives joy, not only to us, but to those who are around us. When you just live a life of integrity, when your life is consistent, people know what to expect whenever we're around them. And whenever people are around us, it never even crosses their mind that we may walk away from them and go gossip to somebody else about them, right? Because we walk in integrity. We walk uprightly, whole and complete. We're upfront with people. We use wisdom and discernment to speak with them directly about any concerns that we may have. We treat everyone with God's unconditional love, and even as God does, he shows no favoritism. And when I hear that, I actually think, I mean, we're all God's favorites. God does show favoritism. He just shows it to everybody, right? Equally. You're all God's favorite. You're all Daddy's favorite when it comes to that. But no favoritism. Not you're better than you, and I like you better than you. Like, I tell all my kids, I'm like, you're my favorite kid, just don't tell the others, right? And I say that to each of them in front of the others all the time, right? Yeah, because they are. They're all my favorite. Now, here's a disclaimer, okay? Living a life of integrity does not mean you live a moral lifestyle. You can be completely wicked. You can be the wicked witch of the East, right? And still walk in integrity. Integrity just means you're not divided. You're the same around everybody. So walking in integrity doesn't mean you live a moral lifestyle necessarily. In fact, some of the most integral people I know are the biggest jerks that walk the face of this earth. But I'll tell you what, they are a jerk to you the same as they're a jerk to me. And what they say to me, they're going to say to anybody else who listens, because they're going to give you their opinion and they don't care what you think or what you're, you know, who else you tell. They're just consistent. They walk in integrity. Now, they're jerks, but they walk in integrity, right? We've all met people like that. You're embarrassed to bring people around them because you know how they're going to respond, you know? But there's something about that. It's integrity. There's a wholeness and a completeness. They're the same no matter where they're at, no matter who they're around. You know, now, unfortunately, I've actually found it's easier to trust a person like that than it is to trust maybe some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because I know if it's a dumb idea, they're going to tell me to my face. And they're going to be blunt about it. My brother and sister in Christ, they may think that they love me and not speak the truth. You know, they may be like, you know what, yeah, that's an okay idea. You should try that. And inside they're thinking, oh gosh, I hope they don't do that. Duplicity. My words and my thoughts are not in alignment. Duplicity, a lack of integrity. It's just, I'm sorry, this is really messing with my mind and my theology lately. I am still, every day, like, God, really? But yeah, it's true. When a person walks in integrity, they walk in faithfulness. Even if they are wicked, I can trust them. They're faithful. They're the same. No matter, it just, anyways, it's messing with my head and my theology. But anyways, when I talk about integrity in the upcoming weeks and perhaps even months, we'll see how long God takes this out, I'm not referring to a wicked integrity. I'm talking about living a life of integrity that is in alignment with Jesus and who He is. A moral integrity, a good integrity, a godly integrity. That's what we're going to be, you know, looking at and talking about. So just to be consistent. Okay, so here's a real life example, a practical example of a lack of integrity that I personally experienced. And many of you have probably experienced things like this yourselves. This was in my master bathroom. The towel shower enclosure, it kept growing like a layer of mold. You know, you ever do, and you just keep washing it, and you're Cloroxing it, and you're doing, we even got one of those, like, Clorox things that, like, cleans it after you're done showering, and, like, it just kept showing up. And then the towel started pulling away, and I'm like, okay, I gotta deal with this. Then after that, carpenter ant showed up, and I'm like, we got a more serious problem I gotta deal with. So I decided, okay, finally we're just gonna replace this shower enclosure, you know? Because my thoughts were, somehow water from the shower must be getting behind it, right? And that's where the mold's coming from. So I tear down the tile, and I found underneath that a vinyl surround. And of course, it was nasty. So I tear out the vinyl surround, and there's a layer of paneling underneath it. Pull out the paneling, and there's a layer of drywall underneath it. Pull that out, and there's rotted studs. And it's gross, nasty. There was a whole colony of carpenter ants living in that rotted wood. Whew, you know? Lack of integrity. What I think somebody did was, oh man, that drywall is starting to get kind of rotted. So they bought this ply, the paneling that had the smooth surface on it that was water. So they put that over top of it, and well, that started to get nasty. So they put something else over top. Vinyl. Nothing's gonna get through vinyl, right? Nothing can work its way up through that. And lack of integrity. You try to band-aid something instead of fixing it right. Now, what I actually found was there's a tiny small leak in our roof. It was where the roof of our porch met the actual roof of the house. Little tiny leak. And you would never notice it until it was a heavy downpour. But over the course of years, that tiny little leak, the next thing you know, instead of just replacing the shower surround, I literally had to replace the roof. I had to replace the whole side of our house was gutted. You know, I had to replace the just everything. The studs, the floor, whatever you call them, joists, the roof trusses. By the time I got to the shower enclosure, I'm like, finally, like that was the easiest and the cheapest part of the job. And that was supposed to be the entire part of the job. So you can see how like a lack of integrity, it never just affects you. And it never just affects that part of your life. When you have a lack of integrity in one little tiny pinhole area of your life, it affects everything and it affects everybody. You can't hide it. You know, you may be able to slap something over top of it and hide it for a season, but it's going to show its head. You got to deal with the actual problem, right? And that's like, I love driving around and seeing stuff like this, you know? It's cute, Band-Aid on a smashed up car, right? It's cute when you see that, but you've probably taken your vehicle to people who have done that, or you've had contractors come in and they Band-Aid things. It never works out in the long run, right? Never. Integrity, it is critically necessary. Critically necessary. Because it's not uncommon to find cheap patches applied to things instead of real repairs. It's not uncommon to find that, unfortunately. Now, it may look better for a while, but the underlying problems still remain. Out of sight and out of mind is not always good, right? Like when your car's squeaking, you just turn up the radio. Never fixes that squeak, does it? Never. It just gets worse. Ignorance is not always bliss. And what you don't know usually does hurt you, okay? These old cliches, they're not true. They're false. For example, let's say that your marriage needs some work. I'm telling you right now, it is far easier to just spend less time together. And it feels like your marriage is good. You're not fighting as much anymore. Those problems aren't popping up as much. But are those problems still there? Yeah, wait till your spouse gets laid off or out of work or something. Then you're stuck in the same house together. All of a sudden, those issues are still there, aren't they? You do still have that problem, right? These quick, cheap fixes to avoid problems never solves them. Integrity deals head-on with core issues so that a whole lot of pain right now gives you freedom and life for many years down the road. Dealing with big issues here and now and not just band-aiding them is a way to walk in integrity so that you can experience the fullness of life. So there's no hidden landmines in your life, right? Let's say your finances need work. It's far easier to just switch internet providers than to pay that mountain of debt that you owe to the other one, right? I mean, you know people who do this. It's like, your number's not working. Oh, I switched to a new carrier, you know? And it's like, okay, so you switched from TracFone to Net10 to Verizon to AT&T. And meanwhile, you eventually run out of providers. And you can't go back to Comcast because you owe them $800. You can't go back to AT&T because you owe them $1,400. Eventually, it catches up with you. It's far better. You will get far more sleep at night. You'll live in far more peace if you just be like, okay, Goliath, we got to take care of this. Let's deal with it here and now. And I'm telling you, when you choose to man up and to do that, even if you're a woman, if you choose to man up and do that and deal with your root issues, God will be with you and for you. He will help you. If you continue to try to band-aid your problems and run away from them, they're always going to pop up. Why? Because God loves you too much. He cares about you too much to allow a lack of integrity in your life. Because it's not his plan and purpose for you. And it's not really living. He knows the wicked lifestyle that leads to. The harassment, the toil, the pain. And he wants something better for you. So he won't let those areas, you know, stay under the surface for long. That's what we're going to be starting a message series about this morning. We're going to be learning about habits. Because that's what integrity is all about. When you walk in integrity in the small little things, they lead to big things. When you can be trusted with little, God will trust you with much. When you fix that little hole in the roof, you won't have a tens of thousand dollar project down your line. If you fix that little problem in your marriage, your children will be blessed and they won't fulfill that same problem in their own lives, perpetuating it. When we walk in integrity, whatever the case might be, if we give that cashier the nickel back when she overpays us, then when we have a huge bank error, when we learn to walk in integrity in little things, when the big thing comes around, it's not even a struggle. You just do what's right. Habits are about doing what is right in your private life, in your private thoughts, your private emotions, and when you live a life of integrity, habitually doing the right thing privately, then publicly, you've got nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to hide. You don't have to remember, oh boy, okay, I know I told this person that I wasn't at work because of this, but then that's my coworker, and they know they saw me there, so I got to tell this person this thing. When you don't have to live a life when you're trying to keep all your lies straight, it is so freeing. It is delivering. Guys, when you don't have to worry when your wife pulls up your browser and looks at your history, there's freedom in that. It is a release. You know, when your spouse grabs your phone, you don't have to worry because I don't have girls on the side texting me or whatever, you know? Grab my phone and look. I got nothing to hide. There's such freedom and peace. I'm telling you, it is a life of deliverance. It is a good, good life, and it's a life of integrity. And so we're going to form integrity, thinking about integrity in this way, forming good habits. And we'll see as we go through this message series, this illustration can work one of two ways. When you're walking in integrity, in all those little things, for all that little time, it leads a big blessing. Big, big blessing. Because what you do in the little things, God sees and notices. And there's a big blessing at the end. If you live a life that lacks integrity in all those little things, then, eventually, when that big thing comes your way, instead of giving you an abundant life, it can destroy your life. It can destroy that relationship. It tears things apart in a big way. In the same way that little leak in the roof led to huge destruction, a little patch years ago to that little leak would have led to blessing. All that money wouldn't have had to be spent. All that labor would have been saved. So I just want to encourage you, as we go through this, it's going to be difficult, but we're going to be dealing with practical things. Things like relationships and finances and the rubber meets the road with integrity. As you form integrity in the little habits, you're setting yourself up for big blessing. You just are. So we want to choose that path and not the path of a lack of integrity. So that's what we're going to be learning about. That's what we're going to be diving into. Because integrity is a key to living a fulfilled life of contentment. It is a key to unlocking the life that Jesus led that won both the favor of God and man. You see, God's grace may be a free gift. God's favor is earned. You can earn the favor of both God and man. You can, when you walk in integrity, people will trust you. People will confide in you. And not only in little things, but in big things. When you live a life of integrity, it leads to good things. Living a life of moral integrity, it enables us, as we're going to learn, actually, if you grab that little sheet about our core values, you'll see these scriptures on here. 1 Chronicles 29:17, Psalm 25:21, and Psalm 41, verse 12. Living a life of integrity enables us to, first of all, walk in the presence of God. You will walk and keep in step in the Spirit, in the presence of God, living a life of integrity. You will, second of all, remain under His protection. When people rise up, wicked, evil people who try to oppose you and to destroy the work that you're doing, no one's going to believe them because they know you. But if you live a life that lacks integrity and people start chirping about you, it's going to destroy your life. Living a life of integrity will help you to, and I love this one, to maintain hope through any circumstances. You see, when you live a life that lacks integrity, you start believing the lies of the enemy that God is just against you and he's just punishing you for those things that you did. But when you live a life of integrity, you know, you can just disregard that. I know who my God is, and my God has something great on the other side of this. I know his promises, and I'm just going to keep persevering until they come to pass. It helps you to maintain hope through circumstances. Integrity. Integrity is the key to so many things in life. And you know what I love about the Word of God? Even if you're not a Christian, even if you're not a follower of Jesus, God's Word will still work in these situations. If you live a life of integrity, you will still be trustworthy and faithful. You know, all these things will still work because it's God's Word and it works in any situation. So, to sum up integrity, to close out the service, because I can see I'm losing some of you. Jesus made integrity simple. If you forget everything else we talked about this morning, remember this acronym. KISS. You've all heard it before, right? I watched The Office. Don't blame me for that. Dwight Schrute, he's like, his manager gives him this advice. You know, keep it simple, stupid. He's like, great advice. Hurts my feelings every time. Keep it simple. We'll say silly in the church, right? Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Jesus said, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Anything else comes from the evil one. And that means anything else is going to lead to painful annoyances, toils. Your labor is going to be opposed. And it will be. I can promise you that. God's word is true. Keep it simple. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no, and you will walk in integrity. It's really that easy. It's really that simple. And then when anybody accuses you of anything, there's not going to be a shadow of doubt in anyone's mind. They'll disregard lies and believe the truth. And that's what we want to strive for. You're not going to do it perfectly. That's why the grace of God exists. That's why the forgiveness of Jesus exists. That's why he gave his life on the cross. Because you're not going to do it perfectly. But we want to strive for it. We want to strive to live lives of integrity. Yes is yes. No is no. And as we do that, each one of us individually, God's going to radically transform this church. That's why it's one of his core values for New Hope. This is not accidental. The Holy Spirit knew what he was doing. He knows what lies ahead of us. He's doing all these little things that we think very little of. But as we learn to walk in integrity as a church, he's got big plans and purposes. You've heard some of them prophetically. Some of these prophetic words over this place, unbelievable. Not just for this place, for New Hope, but for all the churches in the community and for the entire community itself. They're huge, and we know they're going to happen. We're already tasting and seeing some of these words coming to pass as the churches join together to do the work of ministry, all for the purpose of leading people to Jesus and to his salvation. It's an awesome thing. It's a beautiful thing when his people dwell together in unity. And so let's just close with prayer here today. Jesus, we thank you so much for being the example of integrity, for always responding to me the same way, for always extending your love, always extending your grace, always extending your forgiveness. Even when I give you my word that I'll never do that thing again, and I come to you 5 minutes later and ask forgiveness for doing that very thing, Jesus, your forgiveness is available. Thank you for being integrity. And help me, Jesus, to walk in integrity. Guide my life so that my yeses are yes and my noes are no. Show me your purposes so that I can say no to anything less than your plan for my life. Teach me that saying no to one thing, it's only because I'm saying yes to something better. And Jesus, your plan and purpose for my life is the best that I can choose. So teach me to live in integrity, to walk in integrity, to stop ignoring these problems that I have and to start dealing with them. Because Jesus, I'm tired of dealing with them. I want peace. I want joy. I want an abundant life. So help me to tackle these things and to give them to you. So that you can fight my battles, so that your victory can reign in every area of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for all these things. In your name, amen. Amen. We got some big victories coming through this series, all right? We're going to overcome some stuff. It's going to be good. Amen. All right. Well, have a blessed week.